To amuse your fans and act all urban to jack up your sound scan. What's the matter with you? How come you rhyme monosyllabically? Is that to be shrinking your entire vocabulary? Your style's like garbage cans.
Okay, let's. We're episode 9. Right?
Yep.
It's no good asking.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, welcome to the Comic Anvil, episode 9. Today we have Wesley.
Yo.
Dylan.
Hello.
And Anthony.
How do?
Good day, good day. Gentlemen. I guess we're just going to dive right into it because we like comic books.
Woohoo!
And I think I'm going to go first. I would like to talk about Spider Island Part 5. Best part of the series so far, I think. Amazing Spider-Man 671. Had a really good cover.
Oh, yes.
As a retro 90s Spider-Man lover, all this stuff really, is just deadly to me. I'm loving
the wallpaper on my phone, though.
Is
and
it?
I'm not ashamed to admit it. Yes. I find myself just glancing at my phone as well so often just to look at it. Which
yeah, it's impressive. Those are knee-high socks. Way knee-high. Thigh-high socks. I didn't know they made socks like that.
Well, you do now.
I do, I guess. Or they just made it up. Whatever.
Yeah, it's comics. They can work.
Yeah.
I liked what happened in the issue a lot. I mean, how do I go into it without spoiling it? It all comes down to the Scarlet Spider's kids, I think.
Yeah.
Which I wanted to mention. It was the biggest news I've heard at a New York Comic Con so far that I was the most excited for. And now my new wallpaper on my phone is the Scarlet Spider.
Wow, nice.
Which I thought was going to be a girl, and it looks like a dude to me.
I know, I was actually quite excited about the idea of it being Mary Jane, but Dylan said to me that it's most likely going to be Kane now, which is still alright, but I'm probably not going to buy it if it is, because I want it to be Mary Jane.
Did you read
it? It would have been more fun.
Did you read Part 5, man?
Yeah, I've read it.
Oh, yeah. I really think it's Kane, man.
Yeah.
Mm,
how would you not think it? I'm surprised Peter wasn't like, my God, put a mask on now! Because he was completely healed. And I was like, wow, that guy's been through so much now.
It's fine with it being Kane, but then it is kind of just like a... It's more of a direct rehash of what we got in the 90s, you know, with two people looking like Peter Parker running around at the same time, whereas if it was Mary Jane, it would have been more different and, you know, been something more fresh and new, but I don't know.
See, you know what really gets me, man, is I should have known a while ago about this because I follow Christopher Yost on Twitter, and his AVI has been the Scarlet Spider, the new one, the picture, and I'm like, why would he do that? And I also follow Stegman, and he's going on about his new super secret project, and I'm like, wow, I wonder what that would be. And now we know. And so I'm stoked. I don't know. Spider-Man's really good lately.
Chris Yost did the Fear Itself Spider-Man tie-in, the three issues. I thought they were really good.
Really? I didn't read them.
I wasn't actually going to read them because they weren't by Dan Slott, but then I thought, fuck it, I'll read them. And they were really good. I was glad I read them.
Very cool. Very cool.
Okay, I've got to be the opposite party on this.
You don't read Spider-Man.
I've been keeping tabs on Spider Island since about the beginning of it, and I was hooked on it for a while. Then the official villain got revealed, and I found myself not caring about the official supervillain being the Queen. I lost all interest in it. And as I was reading through the issue after that, I was kind of going, I don't care now. I didn't follow the storyline of the Queen when she initially got first introduced, so really? I just went...
That was in Disassembled, wasn't it? In the Spectacular Spider-Man tie. Yeah, I think I have that.
And I never really read Disassembled, so I didn't really... So when I was reading, I was going, I don't care. Mm-hmm. And I tried. I mean, I tried my best to try to get myself into it, but I just couldn't, and I said, And I looked at and I read the next issue and I said, "Yeah, I'm out. I'm sorry, Spider Island. I mean, it's as I kind of decided I was out because I just had no interest in the general storyline. Once I found that, I went, So it's one of those things where I just decide, you know what? Eh, not for me now. And I just really lost interest in it. I mean, like I said, it's one of those things where sometimes I just decide, yeah, I tried, and I just couldn't get into it once I kind of found out that there was no, didn't really click with me. Because once you stop, I always find once you stop caring about the main villains of the piece, once you kind of start, you kind of start slowly dissolving into just going, yeah, I just don't care now. I just didn't find it interesting anymore.
It's all nostalgia for me. And I really think that the queen comes off more as the foil for Julia, the new Madame Web. That's me, though.
Okay, I see you're getting that. I mean, who knows? I've always said I might take it's. I actually, when I did a review of it, someone said you should give it another shot. So I can be persuaded to.
I'll get it. It was kind of slow there in the beginning a bit. I'm like, okay, bed bugs. Arms, blah blah. I'm like, all right, come on. Give me something I want to, it's going to excite me. And that's why I picked this book, because issue 5, I was excited. I'm like, awesome.
I actually liked the beginning parts of it more than I did when I just started to lose interest once I found out who the villain was, and I went,
I'm kind of with Wesley a bit, though, but not on losing interest, just on the reveal of the character. Like, it surprised me, but I was like, really? Is that it?
She does seem kind of
spectacular.
She's lame.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. Because
I thought it was going to be Madame Web, but then it turns out, it's not. Because, you know, like, Madame Web is going to turn out to be this really evil, like, bitch.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, but I thought, I'm enjoying it, though, because it's just fun, you know. It's just.
I might grab it.
But we'll let you know how it ends.
Yeah, I mean, I might end up at the comic store next week going, yeah, you know, maybe.
Well, I hope you're not disappointed. I liked it. I guess I finally picked something you didn't pick.
And it's a good job that's not one of my picks, isn't it?
I thought it would be, honestly. I really did. Okay. What's our new show? Who gets to go next? We should have a little contest between books. Fuck it. Dylan, you're up.
All right. I'm going to go with Ultimate Comics Spider-Man issue 3.
I almost picked that.
I've been enjoying Ultimate Spider-Man since Death of Spider-Man started, really. But, like, I was a bit skeptical about this new approach at first, especially given the artist. But 3 issues in, I'm really grooving on it, and I, you know, can't wait for the next issue to see where this is going, and I'm rooting for Miles now, so.
Let's try English. I find that these first 3 issues are kind of set back during the crossover that Ultimate Spider-Man and Ultimate Avengers was going on, right?
Yeah.
And, I thought that was pretty cool. I'm like, well, that makes more sense. I don't know why I thought it was just after Spider-Man died, but that wouldn't explain his appearances, right? And the art surprises me. You don't like the art?
No, I do like it. But when she had done Ultimate Spider-Man before, it really just bugged me.
Yeah, my wife said the same thing. She wanted Ben Bagley back.
But everyone just wants Bagley on Ultimate Spider-Man, don't they? Let's be honest.
Spider-Man, dude. I don't know, he did a lot in the 90s, but...
I know, I think he's... Well, he got bored of it, didn't he? And that's why he ran off to DC.
I think so, maybe. I don't know. But he got sick of that over there, and he come running back.
Apparently. That's a schoolboy era running to DC. You stay at home at Marvel.
Sure. Actually, what happened at DC, a big part of it was how he ended up going back to Marvel, was DC really just wasn't doing anything with him. They just literally kind of had him hanging in the background. It was like, okay, well, I'm going to go back to Marvel now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could see that, because what did he do? Trinity? And then Justice League of America.
And Ark and Batman as well, which was friggin' weird.
I've seen him draw Batman before. He did one of the crossovers, Spider-Man-Batman crossover, back in the... I'm not sure if it was the 90s.
I'm aware of that.
Very interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed Ultimate Spider-Man 3, and I enjoyed Miles Morales. What else can I say about it?
I don't really read Ultimate Spider-Man, so I can't really say too much on it.
Right.
Yeah, I've not read it, so I have no comment.
Yeah, you stopped reading it. Look at that, 2 for 2.
I've not read Ultimate Comics in years. I made my choice as 616, so...
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. I can only have so many universes in my head.
I get that one. I was looking at my books this week, and I think I got one Diamond Maiden, one Boom book. Everything else was Marvel and DC. Sigh. Anyways, I guess that makes it your turn, Anthony.
Yes, it does, and this is the one I said I was going to pick on Twitter, which we were discussing a little bit, and it's New Avengers number 17.
Yay!
I just need to get this off my chest. I tweeted this as well, right? Daredevil and The Thing as well, actually, are both on the cover in like this really pretty hero shot done by Mike Diodato, and neither of them are in the issue. While I was reading it, I actually didn't notice, and it was like half an hour later, I was like, you know what, Daredevil wasn't actually in that, was he? And I was like, shit, no, he wasn't, but I don't know, it just seems like you make this big deal about Daredevil joining the Avengers, and then you have him in one issue, because he wasn't in the point one issue, I don't think, either, so,
no, he wasn't.
I don't know. But now that I've got that out of the way, the issue itself, I actually thought was really good, because it's just... This giant robot called Ultimo attacking one of the Stark Resilient Laboratories. So you've got Iron Man in the issue as well, which is quite nice. And it's just Avengers fighting a huge robot. And Deodato draws it really well with how he sets out his panels and some of the two-page spreads he does. And most of the Avenger characters like gets their own moments and stuff like that. And then there's this quite interesting twist when some of Wolverine's blood gets stolen, which is probably going to play quite a big part in Bendis's new Osborn story he's got setting up here. And I enjoyed it. You know, it's New Avengers, it's Bendis. It's like the thing with New Avengers is I don't think it's like it's not like, you know, the best comic Marvel are putting out, but it's just one I seem to enjoy like month to month, so I keep buying it. It seems consistent, like, and occasionally you get an issue that's a bit, you know, but this one was good.
I enjoyed it as well, and I noticed right away Daredevil wasn't in it. I actually thought The Thing was, but he's not. You're right.
He's not, is he?
I think what confused me is I read FF right after I read this book. And I'm a little confused why Spider-Man's wearing his FF costume in this story.
I know. I don't like that either, but I don't like moaning about it, because that's kind of nerdy, like really, really nerdy. And also, technically, he never takes that off now, does he? Because it changes to his red and blue thing because of the tech that's in it. So, you know, you could argue that he's got it on in every comic now, but I don't know.
Spider-Man's got it going on now, I tell you. Wow.
He's a right little whore, isn't he? He's in so many books.
This thing with Wolverine's blood, though, I can't believe they had... Well, I don't know. I don't see what he's going to do with that, really. That hasn't already been done.
Yeah, no, I was kind of thinking that. Has this been done before or not? But I don't know. We'll see.
Well, it's obviously, Wolverine leaves blood all over the place.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not necessarily just his own, but... I mean, there's got to be easier ways to get his blood. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Bendis has got to set up Osborn with Wolverine's blood. If he doesn't do something interesting with it, then you know I'll be disappointed.
Yeah. Miffed.
Miffed. Yes.
Okay. I can't say any more about it. I think Osborn's a bastard, and I love him. I love him. He's actually an evil genius again.
I think just before we go on to someone's next pick, I have seen some people say that Marvel should have left like Osborn on the shelf for like, you know, longer, because like Siege was only last year, I think, and Dark Reign the year before. They should have took him off the table for a bit longer before they brought him back, and I do kind of agree with that. But like Osborn is one of my favorite villains. It's like Norman Osborn and Doctor Doom, so I don't know, just as long as it's not just like the same story I've already read then. Because it's like, you know, this Dark Avenger thing. So I think the Dark Avengers, like, the name's being used again, but the team's probably going to be completely different, so.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the next issue. I guess that brings us to Wesley.
Yep, since I have been officially put down to the last round, since I inadvertently stole pick last episode. But
last episode, sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But and episode before that. I don't mean to steal picks, it just kinda happens that way. We just have good taste.
Yes, we all have good taste.
Okay. Actually, this is a fun I actually picked the shade number one.
Ooh.
It's kind of like, has anyone in here read the Jane Robinson Starman?
Nope. Not me.
I have not, no.
No.
Oh, disappointment.
Wow.
Yeah. I read lots about it.
You haven't read it either, so how can you be disappointed?
I know. I've read lots about it. I've seen James Robinson, and that was his big claim to fame. I was like, that's awesome. Your Superman sucks.
Okay, here's the thing about James Robinson and Starman is pretty much that's sort of like the ultimate telling in saying how you have this. It's sort of like he had created one of the most ultimate villain characters in the midst of it, who's only a villain outside of his own outside of Opal City, being the Shade, and the Shade sort of became this sort of somewhat villain, somewhat hero, villain, and he kind of became just this in between, this very revered character. So
interesting.
They've always been wanting. He also had popped up in Brad Meltzer's Green Arrow run, and as well as he also popped up. He's popped up in a few things all over the place at one point or another. But the Shades. He's kind of, so it's interesting what they're doing. So right now, James Robinson's doing this long, very long-awaited limited series that's people have been dying to see for ages now, and it just finally came together. And each issue is going to have a different artist on it. So like this issue has Colley Hamner, who, and the issue's beautiful. It's Colley Hamner. If you've seen his artwork before, you know it looks great. And
who read even, redesigned
yeah,
after
read,
DC
I've
Universe.
Read.
And even if, say, you never really read Starman, and you just don't really know, you actually can find something really kind of cool about this book, because it basically kind of, it pretty much explains that this month is the month of the Shade's creation. He said, October is the month of melancholy, because that's when I was created. And he doesn't really get into anything, and he's right now hanging out with Mikal, the official Starman now. Mikal from Starman as well, and also from the recent Justice League run, and pretty much basically it's one of those, they're just kind of having a conversation, and it's kind of, for the most part, it's kind of a quiet, it's kind of an interesting little issue, just him kind of exploring a little bit of the Shade, and also that there's someone right now, there's also like this other group popping up that could be interesting in the next issues to come, and who's going to be coming after him, which is very interesting how the issue ends in a very weird way, because if you're wondering how this ties into the New 52, you find out really quick how this ties into the New 52.
Yeah, I have a couple questions. I was like, so obviously their history didn't get rebooted?
It's, from what I can tell, I've actually read the issue twice, and I there might have been something I missed here, and it's kind of weird. You kind of find it interesting because there's some projects like The Shade, Batwoman, stuff like that. It's been in the works for a while, and you have to wonder how they fit into the New 52. And and so far, The Shade, it's like you try to figure out, did they redesign anyone? Like, some of these pages were done already, had to do some quick redesigns to kind of make it different. And you kind of realize, okay, this does fit. And they didn't really reboot any of the history, from what I can tell. They just basically kept, some people's history stayed the same, other people's history stayed like completely like different. Like, I think Opal, they pretty much left alone because Opal City was mainly James Robinson's baby. So pretty much that just got untouched. So for the most part,
this isn't the same as Shade the Changing Man, is it?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. It's basically, the Shade is sort of like a fairly badass immortal who basically for everywhere, like I said, everywhere outside of Opal City, he's considered a villain, but in Opal City, he's a hero because he loves his city so much that if anyone threatens it, he will basically destroy anyone on sight that tries to hurt his city.
So strange.
It's awesome though. It's actually very interesting. Like, when you read Starman, if you get a chance to read the Starman series, it's all collected in 6 omnibi, and there's 6. Yes, I know, but it's also in complete order. So if you ever get a chance to check it out, check it out. Sometime it is well worth the read. And like I said, I get all six of them, and they're very interesting. They pretty much tell a true epic, and you also get a feel for each character, and you can see why The Shade has been one of those revered series that anyone who's been kind of going, I really want to read this thing. And this is why it's just so been so well. I really liked it. I mean, like I said, even if you're not a Starman fan, you can still find something to like about it because you're getting to know this new character. It doesn't feel like you've missed anything. It's kind of like, okay. And you can kind of, it's pretty much almost like a nice little start for this character. And even though there are some weird references to James Robinson's Justice League run, which is kind of odd for me, since I didn't really read it too much, but I knew what was going on, so I wasn't horribly lost. But still, it's a well worth it read, and I really liked it. And Colleen Hamner's artwork's amazing. So
very cool.
I really have to say, go give it a check out. I mean, give it a flip through and see what you think.
Cool. Might do that.
Cool. Awesome.
And nobody has anything else to add because we all suck. Just kidding.
It's okay. I managed to pick. If I steal a pick or I pick a book and no one else has read.
There you go. I'm sorry if I offended you.
I don't care.
Could you go last? Weird, man. I'm seeing a lot of odd printing errors in comics lately.
Brilliant. Brilliant was the infamous one for me.
Did it?
Why what was wrong in that one?
What it did was, like, I'm not sure it was in every copy, but there was a really weird printing error that whenever I did a double page, like, sort of setup, it split the page and then, like, nudged it upwards, and it knocked off the layout of the page, and it kind of made for a really weird sort of reading experience where, like, you read the page and suddenly the next panel's, like, slightly more upwards than what it was from the panel before.
I didn't notice that. I'm going to look at my copy again, actually, to see if mine's like that, but I didn't notice it first time around. Maybe I'm just not that observant.
I noticed this weird crap.
Superboy number 2, yeah, don't ask, I read it. Halfway through the book, there's a couple of pages that are just, it's like everything's really foggy.
Hang on, Eric. Can we rewind a bit? When we did our new 52
yes,
thing?
Yes, I ate my own lunch. You know why I got the book? Because I bought the Jeff Lemire series before, Superboy. Yeah. And it just carried over. I didn't say, don't give me Superboy. So I got it, and I was like, fuck. And I've read the first two issues, and honestly, I'll eat my hat. Wow. I think I'm kind of intrigued. It's written by Scott Lobdell, and I wasn't didn't have a very high opinion of him, I guess, before. And I had to sit down and read the book, man. It was like, no offense to Bendis, but you can blow through one of his books in 3 minutes. Right? And this book, it took me probably 10 minutes to read. I was like, that wasn't too bad, and I'm intrigued now, so I'm going to hang out for a bit.
See, do you know what gets me about that, right?
But
I can hear it, this is a bit weird. But people go on about like how Bendis puts loads of dialogue, like
what?
Dialogue word balloons on these... Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
No, I was just saying, like, you know, people, Bendis gets criticism because of all the word balloons he uses, and then people turn around and say, oh, I can read that, they're quick, and it's like, well, isn't that kind of like a double standard?
Yeah.
Sometimes he will, yes, fill it up with words. Like, my favorite Ultimate Spider-Man issues are the ones where he'd write in the columns, like novel style, because he had to read it. That was a lot of reading. But there's sometimes, man, like, if it's a big action book, you can blow through that in no time. There's barely anything to read. It's just looking at the art.
Yeah.
Another example would be the last issue of S.H.I.E.L.D.
There was
three fucking balloons in the whole book. I was like, wow. It took me 2 minutes to read that book. I was like, okay.
You've got to look at the... Oh. I'm so tempted to just press end call now in a huff because he just brought up one of my picks.
Oh, did I? I wasn't going to
pick. Yes. That's why I was winding like a little baby.
Fuck.
Hey, backstop.
Okay, back to the other thing that we were talking about, how I bought Superboy, right? And then another book that I said on the episode that we went through on the 52 was I, Vampire. I bought that book, too. And it's really good.
That was cool.
So I guess I owe you guys one hat for supper. For me to eat.
I, Vampire was cool. I like that.
I don't eat hats.
I eat hats when I'm wrong.
Well,
my actual pick is Hellraiser issue 6 from Boom Studio.
Eric, you talked about like 5 comics now.
Damn.
This is my pick.
Okay, okay.
For real now?
It's your show, man. Do what you want.
This is the continuing story of Christy Cotton. Do you guys know anything about Hellraiser?
I think I've seen the movie.
Kirstie Cotton. I guess I'm just going to outright say this, but it seems like she's going to replace Pinhead in Hell. And, wow. This book was scary, man. Kind of like the first time I watched Hellraiser, it freaked me out a little bit. And that's why I'm buying the comic. It's creepy. Yeah.
So look out that one.
Check out Hellraiser. And that's and the cover's kind of got this weird, looks like a raindrop across the whole thing or something. Or it's damaged. Or it was printed that way. I don't know. That's why I brought up the printing error thing.
Who's the writer on it?
Oh, Clive is, and Christopher Monfette. Right. And the art is by Stephen Thompson. And the colors are by Jordi Belair, who, wow. I don't know, the palette the guy picks for it really sets the mood. Maybe that's why it's scary to me.
Huh.
And there's blood. And the chains, and Pinhead, and Cenobites. And if you like Hellraiser, you'd like the comic, I'd say. I would say. You guys don't know anything about Hellraiser?
I've seen the second movie. Oh, okay.
That's a bad one. No, I'm just kidding. I think Clive left after the first one, right? So this is supposed to be a continuation after the first one. I don't think the second one. Second movie settles into this at all. Because in the second movie, they kill that one doctor becomes a Cenobite and he kills the Pinhead Cenos, his whatever minions. So, and they're all in this book, which is crazy because they're all connected to Kirstie somehow.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's kind of.
I take a second look at this book, actually. Then,
well, it just started the second arc. This is the part two of. It's called Requiem, and the first part was pretty cool too. I don't know. Maybe try a trade. See what you think.
Well, I bought the first issue and I liked it, but I just. It was hard for me to get into it because I was just sort of like kind of slowly kind of inching the Hellraiser, and then I just kind of ended up lost interest in it. Now I'm just thinking maybe I should have just kept up with this book because it kind of sounded like getting more awesome as
it's a horror book for sure. You got to know that when you're getting into it. Okay. I guess we'll let Anthony go next because he.
I don't know. I'm kind of.
Do you want to talk about Baby Shield?
Oh, Lord.
Hello? Anthony. Holy shit, maybe he left. Oh, fuck. Do you think he hung up?
No, he's here.
Okay.
Hello, I'm back. I actually didn't leave, then I've had some connection problem.
That was very, very unnerving for me.
That was like, oh, crap.
Good moment, Moat.
Pissed him off, too. Fuck, I'm good at this.
No. My Skype's rubbish at times. Okay. What was the last thing I said before I went off?
Yeah, I believe it was
them. Anyway, yeah, my second pick is going to be, Eric bought up earlier.
Sorry.
It's all right. I'm not really that bothered. Shield number 3, which is a silent issue, which really surprised me when I opened it because I didn't look at a preview for it, so I didn't know it was going to be a silent issue. But it's a Celestial attacking the Immortal City. And if you've been reading, I mean, Shield is one of those, it's kind of like hard to explain if you've never read it, but it's these historical characters like Michelangelo and Nikola Tesla and
Newton.
Yeah, but they've been integrated into Jonathan Hickman is like the Marvel versions of them pretty much. So he's taken some of like the facts about them and some of the myths and then put a spin on them. And then you've also got Howard Stark and Nathaniel Richards in there as well, which is really what ties into the Marvel universe. But this book was a silent issue, and it was a big Celestial blowing up the Immortal City. And I think I could have actually done with some panels on some words on some of the pages just to know for sure what was going on. But it looked really pretty because I actually really like Dustin Weaver's art. It's one of the reasons I keep buying the book other than the fact that I do really enjoy it, because for a Marvel comic it's almost like an indie book in a way because of the story. Hickman's telling with the historical characters, and it's I don't think the books are for everyone, but it is a fun read and yeah, it was good for a silent issue, but
almost silent issue. There was a couple words at the end there. Did we fucking lose him again? Oh.
Oh, I'm still here.
Okay, cool. Sorry. Okay. I'll settle down.
The
good book, man. I was just
gonna say one last thing. The thing with S.H.I.E.L.D. as well is it's got quite a complex and dense story, and it's bi-monthly as well, so you do have to kind of read that the recap page. You do have to read the. I have to read the recap page because it's the bi-monthly book. So, yeah.
I like when the arcs are over, then I go back and reread them all in a row if I can find the issues.
Yeah,
another good book. But like I said, it only took me 2 minutes to read.
Literally. I actually read it twice because I don't know why. I just did. I felt like. Pardon? What?
To bring it up to 4 minutes. Just kidding.
Yeah, to get my $3 worth.
I enjoy that book too. I have read from the beginning. I don't know, when you were talking about Nathaniel Richards, I'm kind of wondering about the stuff that's going on in the Future Foundation right now.
Yeah, because they kind of hint towards that might not be 616's dad, didn't they?
Not really. They say at the end there, he's like, what is he? He meets one of the alternate Reeds, and the Reed's like, are you this Earth's Nathaniel? And he's like, I am. He's like, aren't you on a war fighting yourself? And he's like, yeah, I won. I was like, oh, right. Forgot about that. I think somehow, some way, these books are going to tie together.
The alternate Reed, but... I don't think they might not tie in as well together as what some people are thinking. Do you know, just because they're all like by Jonathan Hickman doesn't mean they're all gonna have like arcing storylines or something, but I don't know, we'll have to see.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
good book, nice pick. Does that make Dylan's turn then, I guess?
I guess so.
Okay, what Batman book have you got for this week?
Well, if you want me to go with my Batman book, fine.
I was like, was there even a Batman book this week?
There's two. I haven't read one of them, so I'll go with the one I have read.
Did you buy Batgirl?
No, I'm not into that anymore. Anyways, I was subconsciously, so I'll go with Batman and Robin issue 2. I believe I talked about issue 1 on here. And issue 2 kind of maybe should have been what issue 1 was. It was more of a straight-up examining of Dick and Damian. I mean, Bruce and Damian. And kind of gets some insight into why Bruce would want to work with Damian, and humanizes their relationship a bit, with Bruce kind of having no idea what to do, so he kind of tries to do what he did with the other Robins, but Alfred's not too happy with that, obviously.
Because he's his son.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it, for new readers, it kind of starts off with Bruce and Alfred talking and kind of basically just recaps who the hell Damian is and how he exists. So I thought that was definitely something I should have done in issue 1. But, I'm going to keep reading this. It's pretty good so far.
Anybody else?
I don't read Batman and Robin. I read Batman, but I don't read Batman and Robin.
Oh.
I was expecting Dylan to pick Batgirl. Really?
I was expecting him to pick Batwoman, actually.
I thought he'd skip Batgirl.
The one I haven't. I'm skip Batgirl, and I have Batwoman, but I haven't read it yet, so.
Oh.
Can I ask you guys a question? Did you all read Action Comics number 2?
Yeah. I did.
Yeah.
Did you not think like you only got like half of a comic book with that, because half of it was like just loads of crap? Kind of.
That was a weird issue for me. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah,
but there's still some quibbles.
I don't know. I enjoyed it.
It was cool. It was fun.
It's just It's just like, because you know, usually, right, the, like when you see the staples in the comic, you know, like you're halfway through it. And then when I got to the staples in Action Comics 2, and I turned the page, and then that was pretty much it. And I was like, what, really? And then the other half of it was that behind-the-scenes stuff, which
I don't
really need in a monthly comic, if I'm honest. It's a nice idea, but in Action Comics, I don't need it. I don't mind it so much in indie work, but it's just like, it's when it's in like a DC or Marvel book, it just seems like the creators patting themselves on the back even more. So I don't know.
Okay. I enjoyed the second issue more than the first one, but I never noticed that.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually think I liked it a little bit because it was kind of like I actually kind of liked it a little bit more than the first issue in a weird way. And just parts of just kind of like building upon the first issue, outside of maybe some odd art things between Brent Anderson and Drax Morales switching together here and there, but
I'm not that keen on the art.
That was kind of weird because I could tell some rushing bits and pieces, but outside of that, it's more of a minor quibble for me. Outside of just the general, I did have fun, though. I was actually talking about the back matter with actually my comic shop owner, and he said, yeah, that's going to probably be a very divisive thing if that's what the extra dollar is going for, is the back
matter. Yeah, that's what annoyed me a bit as well, because you only pretty much got, like, I think you got less story than in the $2.99 book, actually. But
yeah, I mean, so yeah, I'll give you that one, because I was even talking about that, and even I went, well, the back matter is interesting, but it would be kind of cool to have the story pages for that extra dollar. So
yep.
I'll give you that. I will definitely give you that one.
The back matter actually reminded me a lot of the stuff that Grant does in his deluxe editions for, like, his Batman run, which reading them in a trade after you've read the story is cool, but I definitely, if they had put that stuff in, like, issues, it kind of would have bugged me a bit, so.
I could see how you guys feel ripped off.
Yeah.
Ish.
I'd like what there was to it, like the story. I thought, well, besides some of the art, I don't feel like I got my money's worth, and it's very rare I actually complain about that when it comes to comics, because I'm not one of these people who's always, like, you know, moaning about the price of them and stuff like that, so.
Yeah.
Comics should be 79p, yeah, because it's still 1970.
What? Okay,
I don't,
great.
Alternate yeah, that's not money, going to that.
My bad. I'm like, pee? Urine? No.
Pee? No.
I gotcha. Pound? Penny.
How much pants? Is 79p?
Quit. What the fuck? I'm confused.
79p would, I don't know, about 50 cents, maybe?
Okay.
What? Yeah. When that's I started buying comics, they were 75 cents.
American cents, not Canadian cents.
Both cents.
I don't get the difference between Canadian and American dollars. I don't get American dollars that much, to be honest. When I was over there, I couldn't work out all the change. I just paid with everything in dollar notes and stuff like that, because it's like the quarters and the cents. But we don't need to go into my trip over New York, because we're supposed to be talking about comics or someone else.
I can see how you'd be confused, though. Like, I'd have the same problem if I came over to Europe and had to...
Yeah, probably.
Be like, what? Oh, a what? Which one's that? I would get ripped off so fast.
Yeah. Just hold your hand out and tell them to take the right coins.
Yeah, right. Your hand. Is this enough? Slide one coin at a time. Is this enough? No. So Batman and Robin?
Yeah.
That's what we were talking about, right?
Yes.
I passed on the book. Everybody did except for Dylan, I guess.
I don't read Batman and Robin.
I don't read either.
Okay.
It's worth reading.
We're all horrible. Dylan says we're horrible. Okay.
It's fine.
It's fine. That makes it Wesley's turn, finally?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm kind of twisting between that to the pick that I have, because I've out of the multiples I could. This is the one I'm probably feeling I'm going to stick to this one. Did anyone get a hold of Legion of Monsters?
No.
Nope.
Well, who published that?
No, but Marvel. You just reminded me of another twist that was in Amazing Spider-Man, actually, that we didn't mention before, but carry on, Wesley.
It's Marvel actually published a book called Legion of Monsters, which is basically sort of like, it's very much sort of like based on the concept of like stuff that was introduced during the whole Frankencastle thing, which they introduced sort of like the whole like Morbius and that sort of like group of people below
yeah.
Like in the monster metropolis. And
okay, sorry.
It's actually an oddball little book. The reason why I decided to mention it because I have a feeling it's going to get lost in the shuffle because of the fact that it's a very nicely twisted little book. It's by, let's see, who, it's a very cool little book that's by Dennis Hopeless, and the artist is Juan Doe, and it's cool. I like it. I mean, I just kind of bought it, this sounds really cool. It fits the story's very much sort of like Morbius is trying, they're trying to establish their own sort of like law enforcement system within the Monster Society. So within like all these monsters. So now Morbius, the Living Mummy, Wolfman, and basically all these are basically trying to enforce law within all the monsters and trying to keep everyone in line. And then we lead to Elsa Bloodstone being part of this book because one of the monsters got out of line on Earth. And she's like, okay, you guys are doing a good job of this, aren't you? It's like, I should just kill y'all now. It's like, no, Elsa, we're trying to keep everything in line. And it's pretty cool. Elsa's very much characterized very close to what Warren Ellis did with her in Next Wave. I swear to you, it's like once Warren Ellis gets a characterization of you, you're pretty much set for life for that characterization because it just works for whatever it is. Elsa Bloodstone is basically Next Wave Elsa Bloodstone. And I really liked it. It's a really cool little book, and it's very fun. I mean, Wanda's artwork is very much fitting for this sort of between sort of kind of funny, sort of humorous moments mixed in with some nice little quirky horror moments mirrored in here and there. So it's very fun. I mean, I think it's just a very fun book that really, honestly, deserves a shot and just people going, hey, check this out, because it's pretty much well worth the time and just going, this is neat. I mean, because like I said, I have a feeling it's going to get lost in the shuffle with everything else because I don't think it'll find a true audience till it hits trade later on, but it's a 4-issue limited series and it's fun. Give it a shot.
I'm going to have to check that out because I forgot about the twist that Anthony was talking about in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And
does
now,
it tie in with that, Wesley?
Read this book. I don't what think it would. Maybe.
Because, a spoiler for Amazing Spider-Man 671, the guy who's in Lab 6 at Horizon turns out to be Michael Morbius, so I'm just
really?
Wondering.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
see, now you're regretting not reading it, aren't you?
Dang!
I forgot about that. Mm. Until you said Morbius, and I was like, oh!
it was quite like a kind of subtle twist as well, in a way, weren't it? Like, you didn't actually, like, go, here, it's Michael Morbius. Look at this out. Yeah. But like, you know,
you just see his metaphors.
So do you think that, what's the guy, the head dude at Horizon knows?
Interesting.
That he's Morbius.
Do you mean the ginger got the...
Yeah, the guy with the goatee leader.
Or something.
So Morbius is part of Horizon?
Apparently. Yeah.
That's nuts!
It makes perfect sense, though, because it's Spider-Man, isn't it? And that's where he started, so...
That's like kind Morbius. Of awesome, actually.
I remember buying his series during the Dark Suns era.
Midnight
Suns, that's it. Attaboy.
I am say I was smart. I know what you're talking about right off the bat.
Yeah.
God, yeah, that's awesome. Like I said, Legion of Monsters, give it a shot. It's pretty much, and also for anyone who's worried about like saying, well, is it tied into anything else? Nope, it's its own thing. It's just basically monsters.
My question.
It's its own thing. It's not a part of Fear Itself. Spider Island, anything. It's just Monster Society.
Do they talk
Monster
about
Metropolis.
Frank and Castle at all? Like, it is this pretty much the same setup of dudes, right? From the
South. Yeah, the same setup of dudes, just pretty much no Frank Castle. I mean, honestly, I was even kind of going, it was something different than what I was expecting it to be. I thought it was gonna be kind of like a more quirk, more of a maybe more focused on the humor, but it had humor, but it was more of a very much more kind of a balance between the two. And when I read it, I went, oh, this is tied in loosely to that Frankencastle, isn't it? And I think I maybe looked at one issue of that.
I'm gonna check it out. Ooh, I'm excited.
Yeah.
So Wesley, what you're basically saying is, if you hate events, read this comic. Because that's all I heard then. Yeah, fair enough.
That was literally it. If you hate events, read this comic. Because I actually had another friend of mine who only was buying this because it didn't tie into any other Marvel or DC event. Because he... Like I said, this is a book that if you're not looking to get involved in any events, give it a shot. It's well worth it because there's a lot of Marvel readers who are like, there's a lot of people who just will not read anything event related. So it's like, well, give this a shot then. It's pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, I like it. I was surprised. I was very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I guess makes it my turn. And I'm gonna go with X-Men Regenesis number one.
Oh Lord.
I enjoyed this book. I'm not an X-Men fan really, but I don't know. I like there was kind of like this dream state going on in between the actual story that was really happening, and it would show Cyclops and Wolverine fighting caveman style, and then these people would be going to each side as the story went on. And I don't know, I just really enjoyed it. I was like, wow. I kind of want to check out Wolverine and the X-Men now.
What?
I don't know why.
I almost
you didn't like it?
I am pretty much burnt out on this freaking X-Men crossover hellfire. I mean, sweet jeepers almighty. You see, the oddest part about this whole X-Men thing right now is literally, it's like X-Men books right now, they're kind of weird. I feel like Marvel's going back in this cycle of having all the books sort of like nudging slowly towards here's your Avengers sector. Your X-Men sector. Yeah, yeah. Here's your Spider-Man sector. I'm going, this is not the way I really want this to go. I kind of liked when it felt like everything could be all interacting, but the only thing, reason why I think there's going to, I don't know, I'm hoping it doesn't go back to that, but every crossover seems like they're kind of wanting to have everything kind of bam, 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 but they're saying Children's Crusade between when all the series, a lot of these events sort of end up, it's supposed to be all setting up for like the one big event down the line, so we'll see how this turns out, but I don't know. I read Regenesis myself, and I was kind of, it was kind of, there's some kind of cool parts here and there. I kind of thought the tribe thing was kind of weird, but it kind of worked. But I can see what they were going for. But I don't know. It's a really weird thing. It's really kind of an odd book for me.
What'd you think, Dylan? I know you read it. Actually, you convinced me to read it.
It's kind of an odd book because it really is just them recruiting people.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, sure, it's not the best thing and not a lot happened, but I liked it and don't regret buying it. I don't know. It was, they needed to set up the rosters, and they did, so.
I'll give them that. At least all the rosters are set, so I'll give them that one.
For me, the thing that I liked was how it was a school for children and a school for soldiers.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't even know where the hell I would stand on that. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's kind of why I liked it. I'm out of touch with X-Men, too.
It's well-structured in that I don't think there's really a clear-cut choice for me. And I do kind of like the way it's set up, where they're separate things, and to the point where, you know, they straight up say that they're not going to fight each other. They just can't deal with each other anymore. So that means, you know, if you want to just read Cyclops' book or just read Wolverine's, you can. Right. Obviously, I'm
good, because I plan on just reading Wolverine's, so.
I think one of the.
Sorry, carry on.
No, you're right. Whatever. I don't want to get, but on Wesley's point too, I don't want to get sucked back into this franchise and be buying every thing that starts with an X.
I'm only letting myself buy Uncanny, Wolverine, and X-Men, and Wolverine.
This has happened twice, and I'm not going to do it a third time.
And I'm going to say, I actually find myself a little bit more intrigued by Wolverine's team and just the fact that it's so weird. It's so weird.
What he got past, that's all that matters.
I want to know what the hell Quentin Quire is doing there.
See, who is this Quentin Quire? That's a question.
Grant Morrison's run.
Yeah. The
really? How did I miss that? He's
the one that team's got it.
That team's got Iceman and Kitty Pryde on it, so that's why I'm buying it. I'm Wolverine, so.
Then you got Toad and like Quentin Quire, and you're like, this is the weirdest team, but
Toad,
it could be
the janitor.
He was just like, sweet. Yeah, I'm going to check it out. Fuck it.
fuck it.
I don't know. Good for you guys, Jason Aaron. But this wasn't even Jason Aaron.
Yeah, it was like Kieran Gillen.
Oh my God, I read a book by Gillen that I actually enjoyed.
You did?
It's the first time for everything.
Gillen is awesome.
Yes, his Uncanny is.
Okay, I take it back.
No, I met him last year at Kapow, and he was really cool with me. And he did little doodles on all my comics. Like on my issue of Loki, he drew Loki and like X's on his eyes, so you know, like, because he was dead and So I will always defend Kieran Gillen though, until he does write something bad.
All right. Let's I don't know how much time we got left. Probably about 10 minutes, right? 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Anthony, you got another one you want to pick?
Just a quick one because it came out. It was last month's issue, even though I might mention the other two. It was the Captain America and Bucky series by Brubaker, Andreyko, and Sam Needed. Have you guys talked about it on there yet?
I don't think so.
No, we have it, actually. Yeah,
I have read it.
The artwork in this is so pretty because you got Samny and he sticks to like the traditional panels, you know, the square and rectangle panels, but the detail and the way the pencils he does inside them, they're just really like I don't know how to describe them, but they just look really pretty, and it's like a traditional art style, but it looks modern as well in a way. And then you've got the story itself, which is like gone back to the 40s from when
World War II.
From when Bucky and Cap first got together, which is probably like the new continuity for it now, the Marvel Universe, which is kind of cool. And then you've got Brubaker and Draco co-writing it. And it's just, I've really been enjoying the series. And it's awesome to see Bucky kicking ass when he's not the Winter Soldier, when he's like.
I think I enjoy that book more than I do the ongoing Captain America.
Yeah, I'm at the minute with you, but with Captain America, I think Brubaker is trying to do something completely different to what he's previously done, because issue 3 had Captain America fight a giant robot of Captain America, and awesome. You know, Brubaker's never really done anything like that before, has he?
Well, you think not they're amping up the hero side of everything.
Yeah,
like with Daredevil.
Because it's been it's always been quite dark, especially with his Gulag arc, and since like Cap died, his books, well, I wouldn't say dark necessarily, but it's not been the most chirpiest of books, and I think
there's very gray tones and stuff before this started. McNiven's is just it's very bright. I agree.
Well, when you have Steve McNiven, it's going to be hard to kind of keep in a more quieter tone, whereas like Steve McNiven's art's very bright and energetic, so it's definitely along that line of you're going to be pushing a little bit further in what you can draw.
Yeah.
Bastard, when?
My sister went to Fan Expo. I gave her a few books to get signed, and that was one of them.
You got McNiven to sign your book.
Yep.
That's awesome, dude.
Nice, Dylan.
Is it personalized, or does it just have McNiven?
I think it's just like McNiven. I got her to get Fraction to sign a few books in air, and they wrote some stuff on. That was pretty cool.
That is very cool, man. I want to go to a con again. Prepare this time.
I'm definitely going to Fan Expo next year.
Don't get Grant Morrison to sign your All-Star Superman number one with a ballpoint pen. Whatever. I got a signature.
Why not?
Because it doesn't show up very well. And the man scripts. Okay, so
yeah, I've got a few. I got Nick Spencer to sign some of my stuff, and it really looks nothing like his name at all. It just literally just looks like a squiggle. It's like, oh, okay, thanks, man.
Very cool. Okay, so who's next, Dylan?
I'm gonna go with a book that I haven't brought up so far. Alpha Flight issue 5 came out this past week.
I enjoyed it too.
I'm
assuming if you're not Canadian, you didn't read it.
You assume, right?
Sorry, Dylan.
Where do I start here? This
fucking
book is pretty cool. It's got Taskmaster in it, and they rob a friggin' bank.
Yeah.
It's really fun and kind of tongue-in-cheek at times.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's cool to see a damn Canadian superhero team, and it feels like it's, I don't know, actually set in Canada, but not, like, forcing the Canadian-ness down your throat, if that makes sense. Yeah, the art is freaking awesome.
There's that too.
I'm going to take a look at this. I know it's halfway through Unlimited, but I might take a look at this just because I'm a big Taskmaster nerd. It's, so that's
becoming an ongoing after the mini ends.
Yeah. Are you are you making a comment saying there's not enough Canadians in comics, even though Wolverine's in pretty much every Marvel book?
There's Wolverine, Alpha Wolverine's Flight, and everywhere. Who else? No one.
Oh, come on. Northstar was in the X-Men for a while and stuff. Like, I mean, these characters are old. They spun out of X-Men in the early 80s with John Byrne, right? So, yeah. I don't know. I have issue 2. I bought that in grade 2 or 3. I don't remember. Anyways, I've always been a long time fan. I just think it's cool to have our own Canadian Avengers, really. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And these guys are screwed right now. It's just cool to see how they're going to get out of this situation. And yeah. the appearance by Taskmaster was awesome because him and Puck are buddies, apparently.
Oh,
and
God.
I didn't know that. And oh, yeah, it's just good. Yeah. Good, good, good.
I should be taking a look at this thing, because that sounds like kind of fun.
Well, I mean, you got Dale Eaglesham on art. You can't go wrong there.
Yes, and Ontario native, I believe.
Yeah, and like Dylan said, it's very tongue-in-cheek. I found myself laughing a few times at it. I'm like, this is cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Alpha Flight. Who's next?
Me.
Okay.
I actually got persuaded by one of my friends recently because I was not even going to touch Justice League International, and I was never even planning ever touching it. But one of my friends kept giving me ragging, like, "Wes, you like Dan Jurgens' Booster Gold, right? Yeah, this is Dan Jurgens writing Justice League International. Why didn't you read this before?" And I was like, "Well, because I'm too tied to Justice League International." So I decided to pick up the last couple issues of Justice League International just to give it a shot. Just go, okay, I'm going to give this a shot, because he told me what happened in the second issue, like bits and pieces of it, and I said, there's a booster cave? And
what?
Cool! I must read this! So, I pretty much I was pleasantly proven wrong on my initial opinion of Justice League International. I was very impressed. It's fun. It's just, this book is purely fun to me. I mean, it's very close to the Justice League International and just general style, but yet it's just a lot of fun to read. I found myself, as I was reading through it, actually laughing a couple times and having a general blast just seeing how they were interacting. At first, I kind of thought it was... The first issue kind of felt like a cover of the original Justice League International that I read back in the 80s. So I went... I was a little like going... Hur. But then I went... But then, as I read it again, I went, man, I must have been in a really bad mood that day, because holy crap, I really love this now. So, I don't know, it's Justice League International. I mean, honestly, if you're an old fan of the series or just kind of looking for a little bit more of a funner Justice League, give this a shot. It's just a very much of a ragtag group of heroes who some of them don't like each other, some and just don't really know each other, just kind of interacting and just seeing and just being a very fun, interesting little series. I kind of like it. And it's been interesting. There's stuff I never expected to like recently that I kind of ended up finding myself liking. Justice League Dark, for example. I expected to hate it. I ended up liking it. So, seems to be that lately, the books I thought I was going to hate, I ended up loving to death. So, go figure.
I agree on that statement. My child is playing the drums. I'm sorry.
No problem. It's the atmosphere.
No, I read the first issue of JLA, and I didn't... I don't know. I was a fan of the old series, so... I didn't really... Please, stop. Stop! Bullfunga. What was I talking about? I'm yelling at a kid to stop playing at the drums. I just got a text message.
You're talking about JLI or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Okay, you talked me into trying part 2. Because yeah, I wasn't impressed with the first one.
So second issue is a lot better. Oh, the first issue is fun. The second issue is a lot better in just how everything kind of gets more structured together. And they introduce more of Booster's concepts of the Booster Cave, and they talk about Skeets more, so you kind of see, okay. Because I was a little bit like, this is getting confirmed. I went, okay, this is cool. This is actually starting to show more of the stuff I was looking to see, rather than the first issue kind of went, But second issue, I went, okay, this is getting where I needed to go. Cool. And basically, because my friend basically poked at me and said, Wes, give this a shot. Okay. So, and then after I read it, he said, told you so. I was like, I know, you were right. So I was happy to be proven wrong on a book. Very happy to be proven wrong on a book.
Well, that's cool. That happened to me with a few books. I Vampire, Grifter,
Grifter number 2 was awesome, by the way.
Yes, it was. I don't know. Anybody? I guess that would pretty much wrap us up for the day, I guess, boys. Unless anybody else has got... Thanks, Maya.
I've got one thing to say. If you buy any DC book, it should be Animal Man, because it's the best one.
Animal Man rocks.
And Swamp Thing. You got to buy them in pairs.
Animal Man is better, though.
Yeah.
Oh, get the Unexpected Anthology. That's really cool.
It seems to be the consensus. Everybody's come up with Animal Man.
Nice.
It's awesome.
I checked the stats.
Oh, Dylan, get it on that. Come on, love.
I checked the stats Animal for Man my Rock. Animal Man review, and I got 100 hits. That was, like, awesome. I never wrote... That was my first article, I think.
Well, congrats.
Yeah, thanks. I'm sure you guys did a lot better, but...
Actually, I don't do them anymore, so...
Oh.
Yeah, I'm kind of taking a hiatus from reviews.
I see.
I kind of just forget, to be honest.
Am I allowed to give a quick plug for the site I do reviews for?
Yes, you can, brother.
Okay, I do reviews for mycomicnetwork.com, and I'm reviewing at least three to five books a week. So pretty much if you're ever in the mood to check out my reviews, feel free. That's where I usually do my stuff.
Okay.
And actually it was funny, we were talking about Last of the Greats last week, the book I picked, Pick Steel, I apologize again. But what happened was, I didn't tell you, we were talking about hits a minute ago. I got like 500 something hits off of that review.
Wowza!
And still go.
You've impressed my child.
Yay, I impressed Maya. Huzzah.
Yeah, cool. You'll have to send me that link and I'll put it in the write-up.
Thank you.
Of course, my horse. I'm going to try and start writing more myself. We'll see. Anyways, I guess from everyone here at the Comic Anvil, we bid you adieu once again. And until next time, check us out on Facebook and Twitter.
Bye, Animal Mom.
Please like us more.
Bye, Animal Mom.
There he goes.
Animal Mom.
Bye, Grifter.
To jack up your sound scan. What's the matter with you? How come you rhyme on the syllabic plays? Atrophy shrinking your entire vocabulary. Your style's like garbage cans meant to be taken out on a weekly basis. Ever since your first record, you've been in a state of suspended animation. You look like Snuffleupagus and Australopithecus. Me, Cray, you abacus. Enough about you, let's talk about me and how single-handedly I redefine the science of radio astronomy. Making Nobel Prize winners question the notions of reality. Oh, but I digress. You play sorry, I play chess. King's Pawn and E3, checkmate. Go get some Percocets. Someone hit, oh my bad, I didn't know you were lactose intolerant. Makes you pass gas, frightens all the girls away. Only friends you keep are those you pay. Always on the ready for the wax snack attack. I carry sandwiches around in a straight head style dance park backpack. Got the gadget, you get bomb. Control your mind, you can jump in a pond. Go quack quack and flap your arms, leave you confused but completely unarmed. I'm ashamed to admit that I've been fooled by the seductions of violence. People walking around with ugly auras. At times I've even tempted to seek the advice of Dr. Laura. But I ignore her, and I take a deep breath and count to 10. Ain't gonna let it get under my skin. Take a deep breath and count to 10. Think of all the nice places that I've been. Like back when I was waging peace against the Visigoths, I was tutoring the ancient mysteries via wise and philosoph. From the polyrhythm of celestial time, wait for one to come to get it done and finish the rhyme.